Good morning. I hope you had a delightful night. Welcome to the second day of Samba XP. We now have Julien Carriel here, who will talk about Open Change.
Hi, welcome everybody. Thank you very much for being awake this morning. I know it must have been very difficult to choose between bed, breakfast, and listening to a French guy. So thank you for choosing the third option. Much appreciated. I've been presenting Open Change for the last 8 years in Samba XP, and it tends to get difficult to find new subject to talk about, mainly because the excitement of the early days where we had this first MAPI library talking to an exchange server, we had all of this excitement being able to do this stuff. Next, we had the server, and now it's about, moving to the next stage. So, for this presentation, I've chosen to choose a wider approach, which is mainly about trying to cover all of the different aspects you may want to know about Open Change as of today. Is it working? What are the limitations? What are the ecosystem around Open Change? And what do you plan on doing in the future? So, let's start with just an about myself thing. So I'm the founder and the lead developer of Open Change. Well, that is a project which has now a decade. It makes 10 years that I'm working on this project. So it's more than my baby, more than my hidden son. That is a real commitment. And it started in 2003 as a student project. And I met Andrew Tridgell in 2004. I don't remember exactly the details, but that was something on IRC where we've been asking some information about Samba, and he say, okay, oh, well, you are doing all of this capture thing, but we do have a MSRPC compatible server working on which you can plug in, and yeah, you imagine what we have this fantastic tool, we have PIDL, we have SMB Torture, NDRDRM, all of the test suite that would be required for you to develop, and say, okay. And then he asked me how old I was, because he wanted to see if I was serious in my commitment to do that. And well, 10 years later, I'm still there. So thank you, Tridge, because this has been an incredible help. And what happened is that for the next years, we've been mainly developing the client side, because that was where requirements and where the community was looking for something. It was, we want to be able to have our Linux workstations and be able to connect and communicate with an exchange server. So we invested a lot of resource and time in doing that. And then when the challenge was successful, we decided, okay, now it's time to go to the other side of the border and try to implement the server. It takes quite some time because we wanted to have a very flexible design. We didn't want to reinvent the wheel and all the messaging stores and stuff like that. We wanted to plug into existing things. So it took some time, and in 2012, we had our first OpenChange 1.0. Yeah, production ready, yoo-hoo. And 2013, the 2.0, which is Kraken. So far, all of the code names in OpenChange are related to Star Trek, where I have a spoiler for you. The next release are now going to be about Fringe. So, I'm going to disclose the names at the end, but I'm very proud of a new code name policy. Very exciting. I recently joined because I founded my company in 2006 doing Open Change development, and at some point I needed to have a broader vision. So I had the opportunity to join a company called Zentiel, which is based in Spain. And one of the challenges that I would have to handle there is aiming at a better Samba integration, which is at the moment we have different directory services, and we would like to have Samba 4 as a primary single unique directory services for all of the different services that are provided, like Squid, messaging, anything. And obviously also develop OpenChange, which is one of my primary focus. I mean, as a developer, I remain very interested in developing and promoting OpenChange. So what is OpenChange? Well, OpenChange in 2005, that was that. A bunch of guys at Samba XP, you have Trich on the right, Andrew Bartlett next to him, and I think it's Andreas Schneider on the very left, and well, me, doing praying the hexadecimal code in the middle. And at the time, we only had some captures. We were trying to figure out how we would be able to decode the content of RPC packets. Now, that was in 2005, and a lot of things happened. And what is OpenChange in 2013? That is a Microsoft Exchange-compatible server. And we are a drop-in replacement, which means that we are interoperable with Microsoft Exchange protocols. We don't need any connector to connect to a Microsoft Exchange server, and we don't need any connector on the client side to talk with Exchange. Everything is just native. We are talking the protocol. So any Microsoft Outlook in the wild, 2003, 2007, 2010, and 2013, and probably next versions, are all compatible out of the box with OpenChange. So you don't need to install anything. One of the key interests in OpenChange is also that we are working on top of December 4 Active Directory. So we are using this technology, and all of our user database are stored within the Samba Active Directory. And moreover, we try to get a schema that is compatible with an existing Microsoft Exchange server. So to a reasonable extent, because, deploying the schema, finding the schema, the correct one that would be compatible with all of the different versions, it's quite tricky. So at the time where we started to do the implementation, that was, back in 2005, and we only had Microsoft Exchange 2003 servers available. So we had to make a choice decision, and we have something like, I think it's a 30,000 lines of LDF file that helps extending the Samba Active Directory schema and add all of the Exchange classes that OpenChange rely on. So theoretically, we should be able to upgrade to a more recent schema, but requires some work. And the other interest is that we wanted to interface with existing data storage, which means that we don't have any interest in rewriting SMTP server or IMAP server or whatever. We just want to be able to be some kind of glue and just work on top of existing services. And the other part of OpenChange is obviously the client libraries. So we do have now a matured client stack, which means that you can build your own tools to communicate with Microsoft Exchange servers. That would be, for example, if you are looking for backup softwares, if you are looking for real-time notification, monitoring, stuff like that, or if you want anything that comes to your mind, you can now do it with OpenChange. So we do have a complete client and server framework. That's the main word. About the key benefits, obviously, for many people, there's a financial saving, which means you are saving the cost of the licenses. And if you considered using a competitor, which I don't recommend, but you may be able to do it, the thing is that we are also saving the cost of the Outlook connectors. So that may not be much of an issue if you have a 10-seat company. But if you start to get mid-size with 100 to 200 users, 300 users, then the cost on a yearly basis gets to be important. What they may argue against OpenChange, which is the general argument, is to say, OpenChange is great, but you are implementing the protocol. So if something changes, your product doesn't work anymore. Well, the thing is that getting out of a vendor lock-in to get into another vendor lock-in is not a solution either. So we do prefer the way that, either the bug is in OpenChange or it's in Microsoft product, but in the end, there are good communication out there with Microsoft engineers, and there's no reason why we can't sort this out. So on the technology side, the main benefit is about plugging into SMB existing infrastructure. So if you already have a dev code, a Cyrus server out there, if you already have POSFIX or XIMP4, it's just work. You can plug onto that through our backend mechanism. Obviously, we are benefiting from the Samba progress, which means that any features that get into Samba and are related to OpenChange, at any point, we can benefit from it. And the change for user are transparent. Let's say that you deploy a Samba 4 Active Directory. For all the GPOs, you are just configuring your Outlook profiles to use OpenChange, and that is done. So, doable. About the licensing, we have three different licenses depending on the areas that you're interested into. For the code, it's based, it's released under the GPLv3 or later. For the IDL, we decided to release into the public domain. And for the documentation, it's using the Creative Commons 3.0. So you can use the documentation to, you know, no limitation. You can use it in the commercial work. We don't care. We just want you to spread the word about OpenChange. So what are the new features? Well, it is working. What else do you want now? I mean, as of today, you do have a solution where you can plug into your Outlook users and you can have all of the daily operation available. What else do you want? I mean, a few years ago, that would even not have been conceivable to have an compatible Exchange server working on Linux and plugged into Samba. Now it's the case. So, well, we still have new features because we can't just stagnate. We just need to be cautious about the progress that we are making, because making too much progress without looking what we have and building something strong shall be a waste of time in the end. So about the new features, well, we do have Outlook Anywhere support. Until Exchange 2013, Outlook Anywhere was an alternative mechanism. Basically, if you do have hosting Exchange, either you are connecting to the hosting Exchange provider through a VPN or you are using RPC over HTTP. What we've implemented in the first place was to provide this support for the server side. So we do have a Python proxy code, which is a WSGI application running on top of Apache, and that is getting the input from Outlook clients and just decapsulate the HTTP layer and forward it to the Samba server. So it's a bi-directional communication. It's working pretty fine now. And the other thing that have been missing for a very, very long time, and where the commitment needed to be important to it, is about the client side. What if in Samba we would have available RPC over HTTP as a transport layer? Well, the thing is, it is going to be soon available. We have, as part of Zentio, we have this contract with a customer, and the customer is providing the code source back to the community immediately. So we have the code source available right now on GitHub. And Samuel, in the room right here, is in charge of developing it. And so far, what we do have is we are able to initialize the connection, the RPC over HTTP connection, to an Exchange server, do all of the RTS command, which are some subset of the DC-RPC protocol, to establish the connection. And we were expecting this morning to have a little POC working where we could have all of the OpenChange traffic going through RPC over HTTP. Unfortunately, there were some more urgent priority about fixing some DNS stuff. So, you know, my developer has, it's okay, no problem. You're fully excused. And otherwise, we also have provisioning, which was one important step into OpenChange. We had a lot of offline operations. And now what we are able to do is mailbox auto-provisioning, which means that when your user opens his Outlook for the first time and connect to OpenChange server, we are dynamically creating the mailbox and all the links. So you don't need to do the operation offline. You just need to add your user to enable your user in the Samba for Active Directory, which means you have extended the Samba Active Directory schema with OpenChange, and you just enable the user, which is one attribute, well, several attributes, but one that we are using, which is the MSX user account control. And you just set it, and when the user logs in and sees it's an OpenChange user, it just creates everything properly. And the other thing we've been working on is OpenChange deprovisioning, which means that, well, you may have been testing OpenChange, and you may have been unhappy with the results you were expecting. So in this case, you do have the opportunity to remove the schema from the Samba for Active Directory, which was not possible in 1.0. So new features also, but not code, because we need to stabilize things. I mean, growing, and developing is great, but at some point we need some people to do the communication job and explain to the user how to deploy the solution, how it works, and everything. So where we do have this new website, the other one was not maintainable. No fancy 2.0 web thing. It's just a matter of a static HTML thing with a markdown language. So, you know, everything's stored in a Git repository, so easy to update, easy if we had more people contributing to the documentation to push patches and stuff like that. But anyway, we have started to migrate some of our documentation guides from the wiki to the official website as a sign of, you know, we are getting matured and it's now working better and it's easier to install. The missing features, because we do have missing features. Apart from what is related to backend, and we'll discuss that later, we do not support Exchange Web Services. That is a technology choice. We don't have the resources to implement them properly. We already have MAPI, RPC protocols, and the Exchange RPC working. That is great. There are a lot of users that are still using that. We do support a bit of Exchange Web Services, primarily the auto-discovery protocol, because that is the one involved when you are trying to look up a user account when you want to find about the Exchange server or using Outlook Anywhere. But we don't have much. And you know, unless we have a big, big help, that is not going to happen in the next year. It wouldn't be reasonable. What is also missing is about the quality assurance and automated testing. So far, it's still a bit artisanal. So we need to migrate from an infrastructure where we are doing a manual test to an infrastructure where everything is tested automatically on each commit. Obviously, that requires a lot of commitment and work. But we do have the opportunity to develop a Wintest infrastructure in Zentiel, and to a possible extent, we would like to extend it to include some automatic test of some Outlook clients and OpenChange deployment. Finally, about ActiveSync, no, we don't have ActiveSync support, and we don't plan on having ActiveSync support. That's not our primary objective. Objective is to serve Outlook clients, and where ActiveSync is for mobile clients, and it's a bit out of the scope of what we can provide right now. So, where we don't have QA, I mean, very sophisticated QA, but we are very good at doing dogfooding. And as part of my commitment and my trust in OpenChange, I migrated all of my business activities to OpenChange. So all of my calendaring, all of my contacts were stored on my OpenChange server. And well, I'm happy to say that I didn't lose any customers. There were no critical bugs that we encountered. There were some limitations, but nothing critical, nothing that crashed your client. We didn't have any data loss, because everything was stored in the IMAP storage or in MySQL database, so not a big issue. And well, the only real test you can do is basically you open your Outlook, you do your operation, and when you come back, you leave it open on the Friday. You know, you didn't close it for the entire week. Maybe my Windows workstation may have crashed before, but that's another issue. But here, everything was just working properly, everything scheduled and done. And on the Monday morning, Outlook was still up and running and just waiting for my commands. So, yahoo! So, about the ecosystem. We are a small development team. But small, but stable, and very reliable, which means that people don't necessarily have time to work on OpenChange all the time, but there is commitment. Well, here's the thing. More than 50% of the core team are Samba team members. You have, you know, by date of arrival, you have Yelmer Vernoy, you have Dan Shearer, and more recently, you have Mathieu Patou. So we do have this small, but, you know, it's important that we have this integration with Samba 4 and that we put it to the extreme, because that's we can't work without Samba 4. And where we recently, and that explains also the slower progress last year, is that we had a new developer on board, and it required a lot of training. I mean, we don't have any results yet, and it required me a lot of work. Basically, here's my new developer. And the thing is that that requires a lot of time, and you know, you need to adjust your priority. But the point is, finding new developers that likes to do C programming and low-level things are really difficult to find. It's not about finding a rock star. It's about finding some people that is committed, that wants to go beyond the limits of what he knows. You know, we don't look for rock stars. We look for normal developers that want to learn. And yeah, I expect in the next 2 years to have the first line of code. about the ecosystem,
The main important thing is that we have a backend working. You know, OpenChange is working with backends, which means that we are providing the MAPI glue, we are turning all the magic, and then you have the opportunity as if you provide products or if you integrate some services to write some code that would take this input from OpenChange and turn it into what your backend understand and do the translation. That is what Inverse is providing with a backend for Sogo. Well, Sogo is another groupware server using open source technologies. And it's working on top of PostFix, Cyrus. The configuration, that's the cons. The configuration, it's quite tricky to set up properly. Because where it's written in Objective-C. It's written in Objective-C. And the pro is that it's, as of today, probably the most feature-complete backend that we have right now. So it supports the cached mode, the offline. I mean, you can work offline with Outlook and synchronize next. You have your FreeBSD operation. So all of this is supported in OpenChange. Now it's a matter of whether the backend supported or not. And as of today, Inverse is well placed in the competition because that's the more advanced, and they have pushed a lot of work into OpenChange for the last 2 years. So thank you for that. Another backend that we do have is Easy Linux. It's a very, very young backend that is less than 1 month, but it's a guy, a French guy from Nantes, who started to work on it and is really committed into it. The main thing is that we need to have in OpenChange backends that are out of the box. If you do apt-get install OpenChange server, at the moment you need also to do apt-get install Sogo and do all of the configuration thing. What we would like in the short term is that you do apt-get install OpenChange and out of the box you have something to test and play with and that would be working. So these backends would mainly focus on performances, which means that no fancy thing, mainly a MailDir backend, something that hook into the Active Directory for contacts and distribution lists and all of these things. The disadvantage is that it's in very early development stage, so even there's a lot of commitment, we know that developing a backend requires some time, and you know it's also part of a job to help the developers doing that and see how we can improve the documentation. But we do have collaborations. In the community, we start to get feedback from SMBs that are less than 300 customers, 300 workstations, users. Positive feedback, it's working. We found some bugs, some limitation. Some were in the Sogo code, some other were in OpenChange. Basically, a client with a 80 gigabyte mailbox that was making OpenChange crashing at some point. So we just fixed that. But you know, these are typically the use case that you can't find when you are doing dogfooding with a very small scale installation. You need to have people with a lot of data and are willing to test it with the data. As long as you don't, you know, corrupt the information that you have backup, there's no worry and you can just shut down OpenChange and you know there's no problem in your infrastructure. The thing is that we need some testimonial. Because we do have happy customers. When I say customers, it's mainly happy organizations that are using OpenChange, but doing, you know, there's no commercial support at the moment, no commercial offer. It's really just open source project up to the end. And where we see on mailing list a lot of bad feedback, not a lot, but just like, you know, it's always the angry customers that is raising the flag and say, hey, I'm not happy. What? You don't support multi-domain? That's unacceptable. Well, we never ask you, you know, we never said that it will support it. So what we would like is that people that are happy with OpenChange just send a note. We have some private one. We would like some public ones, like say, hey, I'm using OpenChange for the last 2 years, well, not last 2 years, for the last year or for the last 6 months in my organization. We have 300 users. It's working almost perfectly. There are probably two, three glitches to fix, but nothing, nothing that you can handle, guys. And where we do have also business projects going on, and these are the heartbeat of OpenChange. These are where most of the core features come from the last 5 years, because that's where, you know, when you need to fill the fridge and when people are interested into OpenChange. But that led to many interesting results, for example, MAPI proxy, For example, some advances, now the Outlook Anywhere clients that also help improving the backends and the way OpenChange is delivering code or the RPC proxy. So quite interesting. And we do have potential partners that have been evaluating OpenChange, are interested. It fits their needs. They tested it extensively, saw the limitations, for example, some scenarios that we don't support, and then just decided to schedule some deployment. So maybe during the next month, we will have some other news to provide. And about project and opportunities, there's enough thing going on. It's just a role plan, nothing scheduled at the moment. Something we are strongly thinking about is pushing OpenChange into the cloud. Yeah, that may or you are trying to take the momentum of cloud, but it's more than that. It's not just we want to take OpenChange, put it on the node, and that's working. We just want to make OpenChange scales up properly in the cloud. So everything that we can do, having load balancing, round robin, failover, being able to have a multiple Active Directory running so you can have multiple organizations connecting and independently from your Samba server gets connected to OpenChange and have good responsiveness from the backend. That are different challenges that we want to address in the future. Now, about the 3.0 milestone, objectives, the benefits, and the scheduling. We get back into the technical field. First of all, we have in the pipe to have a MapyRobes IDL compiler. That is one of the limitations we had for many, many years, is that the MAPI protocol is not end-year encoded, which means that we don't have any alignment. And there are many things in PIDL that are not useful to OpenChange, that are not compatible, and we need to find many workarounds and many hacks. Which means that in the end, it's working even properly, but we could do better. And if we were looking at a way to, for example, not use RPC, but use another thing, we just need the MAPI buffer, and that would be a way to do that. So the idea is to be able to pack and unpack the MAPI operations and to have MAPI buffers, really just like a buffering, and also to help building the specific logging channels. That is one of the leak in OpenChange, is that if today you want to do some debugging of OpenChange, if you look at the Samba log, then you do have Samba, you do have OpenChange, you do have Sogo, everything just mix in the same channel, logging channel. That is not something that is great for administrator, and moreover, with all with all the set of debugging, we need to reduce that to help scale it down so you can just have the debugging information that are relevant and that would help us building some thing more effective. And these MAPI ropes, I've started to write a prototype that is actually working. If we do have time at the end of the talk, I may show you or later. It's basically a Python IDL compiler, which is based on p-parsing. And we do have a language that is similar to the IDL one. We didn't want to get too far away because that would have been too much engineering work of doing the migration. But it's working. We start to get the preliminary bits of generated code of packing and unpacking, and we do have unit testing built in directly when we are compiling, which was also something I was aiming at. About the logging channel, where everything is safe, we just require a dedicated channel and be able to plug into existing things better. We want to have a better core infrastructure. So as a first change, for a very long time, we tried to migrate to WAF. The problem is that we don't have time to dedicate to finish the work. We're starting, but when we are encountering technical issues, then things get into the pipe and we have other things to do, and then it lies and we take it 3 months later and, oh, new WAF version, probably new updates and stuff like that. And what we are trying to provide is where it's at the moment, we want backends to be able to get developed quicker. So that is one of our primary interests. It requires some time to develop a backend. We would like to reduce that to the minimum possible. And that is about having built-in backends that let you go over new technology or over languages. And it's the discussion about between performance and momentum, which is, we could have backends that are really performant, I mean, really low level that directly goes to the lower level possible. And in the meanwhile, you know, doing that just makes it possible to have one backend at a time. If instead we have the technology that led us, you know, a general technology, but that led get into multiple directions, multiple languages, whatever, regardless of a performance, because that is not the problem here, then we would have a momentum. So that is something we are very, very actively investigating. About the objectives too, about a backend for the Active Directory storage. For the moment, we are doing the lookup of users within the Active Directory, and all of the contacts are stored into a MySQL database. What we are aiming at in the short future is to be able to have all of the Exchange contacts stored into the Active Directory. I mean, not the Exchange contact that the user created because they are within its mailbox. Within its personal storage space, but all of the contacts, you know, for example, such as the distribution list or the alias that are stored into the Active Directory. So that is something that we are investigating. That requires some changes in the schema that OpenChange is providing in new hook, but it's definitely doable. Also, the multiple domain support. And as you can see, well, that means that OpenChange is highly dependent on Samba, because that is not something available in Samba right now. That we may, you know, use when it's available, or try to contribute, you know, if we have a roadmap. And at the moment, one workaround is to use one organization per organization unit, which means that well, you have one organization unit. It's just a bunch of users within the same group. That's not ideal, but that's a first step. You know, if you try to get, for example, OpenChange as a VPS hosting solution, then all or your users can be in one subdomain. We are looking for a better Samba 4 integration, which means that we have some deployment scenarios working, but some are not. Which means, for example, that if we are working with replicated schema, if you have already an Exchange server in your company and you are adding Samba 4 as an additional domain controller, then you want to replicate the schema to the Samba 4 Active Directory domain controller, and at the moment it's failing to some extent. There are some LDB control missing, there are some patches in the wild, there are two different, as far as I know, there are two different options discussed, and there are pending patches. The thing is that, let's say that we get rid of this limitation. Next, we need to be able from OpenChange to reuse this existing schema. And as of today, we cannot guarantee that it's working out of the box. Some people have tried to do that, having Samba 4 as a domain member and with the Exchange schema, trying to see if it works. They find some bugs, but nothing critical, nothing that we can't fix within, you know, 2 days investigation. So I'm pretty confident to this regard, because we have been strict to this we have been strict on this for the last years. And one of the OpenChange limitations that we also have is when we are doing development and we are working somewhere in a single mode, or when we are doing debugging, we do have all of this reentrant call that goes in OpenChange back to the backend and goes up to LDAP. And that means at some point, because we don't register properly with a Samba 4 event loop, it just called a deadlock and blocked. So I expect before the end of the day to have leads, so I can fix that, you know. So that is an emergency call to the Samba team, if you hear me. And obviously, having automated tested as discussed earlier. But the most important is that it's now time for OpenChange to spend more time in Samba, which means that as of, you know, until now, we were mainly providing features that were OpenChange specific. Now, most of the features that we are aiming at for corporate deployment, business deployment, are mainly features that needs to lie into Samba and on which OpenChange needs to hook over. So that is part of the migration that is starting step by step, is that we want to have a better Samba 4 integration, you know, more features so we can use them into OpenChange. And about the benefits, well, we do have a hosted Exchange support. That is what we are aiming at. So being able as a provider to supply an OpenChange solution. And this solution to be either available for VPN, you can already do that as of today, and also over ARH, RPC over HTTP, which is also available. So you can do it right now, but there are still a few things that we need to tune. So the solution is scalable, so you can deploy it automatically, so it's less painful to deploy. And also working on in the cloud ready, as discussed earlier, which is about failover, load balancing, round robin, and being able to disseminate the open change data and Samba Active Directory across multiple nodes and having everything working properly. So about the scheduling, where it's scheduled officially for May 2014, but officially doesn't mean much in the open source world. Look at Samba 4 and how long it took. So we don't know. Honestly, we don't know. It's really a matter of availability of all of the technical challenge that we may face. Where you do have the name of it, 2.5, but we would like it's precog. And precog doesn't only come from the minority report thing. It's also a fringe thing. And where if I were Doctor Who, I would like to get back a few years earlier and say, okay, you know, you are going to get into a lot of work, so just be careful about your about how you schedule your roadmap. And maybe, you know, I had one guy come this morning and say, okay, are you really sure you're going to have 3.0 next year? We're going to see. I mean, it's realistic. We are trying to seize down the objective to scale to something that we can do. So, well, that is all for me. So if you have questions.